Well, good morning, Encounter family. We have a lot to be thankful for today. Yeah, we give the Lord a hand for that. You know, as we stand on the eve of Thanksgiving week, it's time just for me as I think about all the things I'm thankful for. I just want to make sure that you all know, as one of your pastors, how thankful I am to be a part of our church family here at Encounter. I cannot say it enough how thankful we are as a family, and I am as a pastor, to be partnered in the gospel with you and making disciples and reaching our community for Christ and just praising the Lord. So just know that from the bottom of my heart as we begin today. I was thinking through some of the many things that we're thankful for as a church family, some that you know because you're a part of these ministries, and some of the numbers that represent these things. And each number represents a life story that Christ is working in. But I was looking back and I'm just in awe that just since summer, 34 people have made the decision to get baptized. That's just inspiring what the Lord is doing there. Now And then I think of numbers like our Encounter Youth Moose Mountain Camp with over 80 students going. I remember hearing the numbers before I came as lead pastor, just how the youth ministry was coming out of COVID, and to see how it's just abounding in growth this time later. It's just so neat to see how the Lord is using so many people in that ministry. And I think of Celebrate Recovery that's continuing to grow in its leadership. Our Celebrate Recovery leaders are helping start other Celebrate Recoveries around Ventura County, which is just exciting. And come January 25th, we'll mark 25 years of Celebrate Recovery at Encounter. That is just phenomenal. So I'm thankful for Buddy and Daniela and all the leaders that came before them and being a part of that ministry. And then there's MOPS and Moms Next combined is about 150 women. And then there's WOW, our Women of the Word ministry, that has about 100 women involved in there. When you look at this fall and all the different small groups that are meeting in different capacities of discipleship, there's 57 different small groups meeting throughout the weeks of every month that passes by as God is just growing His people. There was a great men's breakfast yesterday, and Pastor Bob just gave a great message to the men and some great food. And then there's 71 children that are rehearsing right now for Praise Kids. That's just amazing. And their performance they're doing this year, it's titled Dude, You Hear What I Hear. And I laugh every time I hear that title. So it's just a great title. And that actually just barely touches the surface when you start to think about how there are 18 global partners around the world that we get to be partnered with in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm just thankful for God's provision in the midst of all of those things, because in the midst of all of those things are these faithful servants, all of you here today who are involved in all of those ministries, and God is using week in and week out. And then in the mix of that also is a staff team. I feel so blessed to be a part of our staff team. We have an amazing group of leaders here at Encounter. And then baked into the mixture of all of that is just this generosity ministry. We are through the giving of your tithes and offerings. God is using that to support all these ministries that God is doing locally in our county and around the world. And so we just praise God for all of that. And in light of that, I thought it'd be really important just to take a moment before I jump into the message today to share a little bit about the season of the year that we're in our generosity ministry overall, because we're getting near our end of the year giving as a church family. And historically for Encounter, God has used the month of December to really balance all of our needs in ministry and to propel us often into a new year of ministry together. And so it's a really strategic time for us as a church, and we're calling our end of the year giving theme this year Abounding Blessings, where we're asking God to have us all live lives of radical generosity on mission. Philippians chapter 4, verse 23 says, "May every one of us overflow with the grace and the favor of the Lord Jesus Christ." Where we're living in the overflow of God's grace, and then out of that overflow, pouring into lives around us for the glory of God. And that means in all aspects of our life, including our finances. And so as we are going through our Abounding Blessings end of the year giving, I want to ask you to pray and to consider sacrificing towards some end of the year giving goals for us as a church that we want to be praying for and trusting God for together. And so we've got a graph up here that I want to show you and just kind of pick gives us our financial picture right now. And as a board, an elder board and church leadership, we always want you to know where we are financially. So on average, our fiscal year starts in July and then goes to the following June of 2024. That's our fiscal budget year. And so we're almost 5 months into our budget year. And if we kind of extrapolate forward November and look back to what God's done the last 5 months, on average, God is providing through all of us as a church family together about $150,000 a month towards all the ministries of our church through your faithfulness. And in light of inflation and everything going on out there, that is just a beautiful and powerful number. And I just want to praise God for the faithfulness of all of you who are part of our generosity ministry. Yep, give the Lord a hand. And so this first goal that we're actually asking you to pray for is just what we're calling our provision goal. It's just the faithfulness that God has been doing that would continue in the month of December. And part of behind that story that isn't seen in that number is that on a monthly average right now, we are experiencing, which is common in the summer months leading into the fall, a deficit of just under $30,000 a month. And so if you extrapolate kind of November to the end, we are probably, as we enter December, going to be about $145,000 short of what we need for the ministries of our church to be funded. And so just breathe that in for a moment, okay? $145,000. That's a big number, right? It is. And, you know, our total budget for the year is a little over $2 million. It's about $2.2 million. And just to be clear, when you have a deficit like that in the giving of the church, we don't owe that money to anybody. We have this just robust, you know, reserve fund that God uses during the lean months to provide for that and to cover the ministries during that time. But here's where the news begins to get really, really good. And this is the good news, is that we actually have an anonymous donor in our church family that has committed up to $100,000 matching gift in the month of December for every dollar that comes in December above our monthly average of $150,000. So for everything that comes in December above $150,000, it's going to be matched up to $100,000. And so that means that basically, if you're brand new to Encounter and you give towards the generosity ministry of our church in December, it's going to get doubled. It's going to get matched. And if you're a regular giver as a part of our church family, as you consider an end of the year, just sacrificial gift to propel us into a new year of ministry, every dollar that you give above your normal giving is basically going to get matched in the month of December. And so the goal that we're asking you to pray for as a part of this abounding blessings, end of the year giving theme is what we're calling our abundance goal, where that additional $100,000 would come in from our general church family above our $150,000. So that would take us up to $250,000. And then that matching gift would be given, and that would take us up to $350,000, which, man, that would be amazing, would it not? And what that would do is it would erase our deficit from these last 5 months. It would allow us to replenish our reserve fund. It would position us with strength as we enter a brand new year of ministry. And so we just ask you to pray about being a part of that. In fact, I want to actually ask us for even a bigger prayer than that, because I don't know, I just believe we have a really big God. And I want to ask you to pray for a goal even larger than that. We're calling it our overflow goal, that maybe even an additional $100,000 would come in the month of December on top of all those things, which would do many things. It does all the things that the previous goal does in erasing the deficit, replenishing our reserve fund, positioning us for just a strength in our generosity ministry to to invest in all of the ministries of our church going into the new year. It also would give us a covering for the low months during the summer that come every year for every church. And it would give us the potential of taking some of our reserve funds and actually just expanding ministry and doing some projects around our campus and expanding different ministries in this new year as God is already doing through all the ministries of our church. And so would you prayerfully consider giving an above and beyond sacrificial gift in the month of December, knowing that every dollar literally makes a difference. No gift is too small, no gift is too large for all that God is doing. And we will share with you in the new year how we ended up in December, but be praying for the abundance and the overflow goals and how God might invite you to be a part of that, because may every one of us overflow with the grace and the favor of the Lord Jesus Christ in all aspects of our lives, including the financial side of our life. Amen? Amen? Hey, would you stand with me? Is that crazy news or what? God just loves to surprise us. You know, I was hoping to be able to share with you in December the name of our potential new executive pastor. We've been in executive pastor search for a while, and we had narrowed down through a big pool of people to an individual, and it seemed like we were all in this moving forward. And just this last week, we found out that God had led the person that we had focused on in the end to take a position out of state at a different church. And at first, I'd be lying to you if I was not surprised, and it wasn't what we were expecting, and just a little discouraged at first. And then, man, God just, I don't know, he's just encouraged my heart and just reminded me of how his timing's perfect in bringing his pastors to Encounter. So I'll just leave it in his hands with you, but just want you to know that we're continuing to meet with people and God's process is continuing and we're trusting him for his person at his time. So let's pray together. Oh, by the way, too, before we pray, you probably have this question just talking about the budget. Our executive pastor supporting that role is all baked into all those numbers that I just shared with you. So it's important for you to know that. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your surprises, Lord. And I just pray for your surprise through your spirit in our hearts today. Just because of who you are and the power of your word. Lord, we just continue to pray for what's going on around the world. We pray for our military, God, who in many ways carries the weight of all that's going on in the Middle East for us as a nation right now. We pray for their safety and for their strength. Lord, we continue to just pray over this situation with the Israel-Hamas war that's going on and praying for civilians on both sides of this conflict. And Lord, just leaning into your word, praying for peace in Jerusalem, Lord, we just pray that over the region, God. Lord, we just pray for your peace in our life right now. Lord, I know as all of us come into this room, many different things are on our hearts and minds, and we just invite you to speak right now, God, in only the way that you can through your word. And God, I just want to say, as your son today, thank you for this church. I'm grateful, God. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I will never forget a famous phone call in my married life with my wife, Amy, who's somewhere in the room. I know she's sitting here. I saw her walk in and there she is. She was running a half marathon in Monterey, California, when we were living up north. This is when our children were much younger. And we had a bunch of friends who had gone with her to this race. She was running with one of her other friends, and they had gotten separated somewhere along the half marathon, and so she was running on her own. And we had all these people that were going to greet all of them as they crossed the finish line, and people started coming across the finish line, and Amy was nowhere to be found. And more people came across the finish line, and she just never showed up. And it kind of got to this point where it was almost unreasonable that she wouldn't have crossed the finish line yet. And so our friends checked with the officials of the race, and there was no news of any emergencies, and her name wasn't recorded anywhere of anything happening. And I was sharing from God's word that morning. It was a Sunday, and so I was back at church, and I never leave my cell phone on Sunday morning. So just so you know, if you want to reach me on Sunday, my phone's always off on Sunday morning. I turn it on after church. And so I was looking forward after church was over to get on my phone and hear a message from her on how the race had gone. And so I turned on my phone and no message. And so I called her number, thinking that she should have been done by this time, and she didn't answer. And it was kind of confusing. Called our friends who were there, and they didn't know where she was. And apparently what had happened was about 3/4 of the way through this half marathon, she had suffered a pretty severe seizure and been brought to emergency. And there in emergency, she eventually did wake up somewhere in that process, and she was very weak and very disoriented and couldn't remember any phone numbers. And again, there's no official record from the race who she was or anything like that. And the only phone number that she could remember as she woke up wasn't all of our regular numbers, but it was actually her childhood phone number from her home in Bakersfield. And so the hospital got the number of her parents from her and called them, who then called us to let us know what had happened. And so she came home later, and she came home, began to recover and get her strength back. And a couple weeks passed, and she had another seizure. I'll never forget it. Just boom, down she went. Which began a process with a lot of doctors on anti-seizure medications and combinations of medications. And a few more weeks passed, and she had another one. And some of you who have been exposed to anti-seizure type medications, they're trying to find this combination to prevent it. They're very strong drugs. They have incredibly significant side effects. And it was this period of time where just together we were wrestling with so many different emotions. She was no longer able to drive. We had 3 young children. We were trying to figure out what this meant for her career and all of those type of things, let alone her health. And times like that cause you to take stock in what really matters and what we can really depend on. And times like that cause us to look to places like the Psalms and Psalm 100, where we're turning today, because Psalm 100 is this psalm that's titled a Psalm for Thanksgiving. And it's this psalm that God gives us to unleash a heart of gratefulness in us to God in praise. And it's an easy psalm to remember and to be able to find because it's this nice big round number, Psalm 100, and it has this biblical title given to us from the Lord as a psalm for thanksgiving. And it's the only psalm out of the 150 psalms in the Bible that has that title. So it couldn't be more than appropriate for us as we are on the eve of Thanksgiving week to let God speak to us through. And in this psalm, we're given some actions to unleash gratefulness to God in us. And my hope for us as followers of Christ today is that we'll leave here today touched by Psalm 100 and what God has to say, a little bit more like the man who had leprosy and was healed by Jesus along with 9 other of his friends in Luke chapter 17. You might remember that event in the Bible. There's these 10 men, and they have this horrible disease of leprosy, where basically it's a death sentence. You just slowly die over time. Your toes begin to rot, and then you lose part of your foot, and that's just happening all over your body. And as a result, at the time, there was no cure. It was considered highly contagious, and so these people were outcasts in society. And they come across Jesus' path, and they start yelling at him for hope and asking Jesus, all 10 of these men with leprosy, asking him to heal them. And Jesus sends them to the temple, and on the way to the temple, they're healed. But there's only one difference between these all 10 of these men who are healed, because after they're healed, only one of them comes back to give praise to Jesus. One man comes back to give God praise for this miraculous work that he'd done in their life. And often when we think about praising God and thanking God for something, we think about how we're just thanking him for something that he's done in the past. But one of the powerful things that happens in our daily walk with Christ is anytime we praise God, anytime we thank God, in that moment, it actually opens up a window in our heart and in our life for then God to pour even more of his goodness and his love into us so that it can then be poured out into other people around us that God has placed strategically in our path. So much so that this one pastor by the name of Charles Allen once said this: thanksgiving becomes a window through which God's love shines. Thanksgiving becomes a window through which God's love shines in us and through us. And so Psalm 100 says this, it's God's psalm to us for this week of Thanksgiving, a psalm for Thanksgiving. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. Now, I really like the first action that God gives us in this psalm, and it's basically to make some grateful noise. Look at verse 1 with me. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Now, I realize up front that for a lot of people in the room right now, you might feel a little bit of a disadvantage as this psalm begins because you consider yourselves rather reserved worshipers, all right? Yeah, you know who you are. You don't like loud noises. You don't like raising your hands. And, you know, it's just not something you're about. You don't like to make loud noises in any context of your life, whether you're singing in worship or anything else. And so when everybody else is, you know, clapping their hands and moving and raising their hands in the air, you're just sitting there like, yeah, and you're okay there. Like, you're perfectly happy, and you're praising God in your own way, and you know, your lips might kind of move a little bit with the words, but you certainly can't hear yourself, and it's just not who you are. And yet God is inviting us past some labels today. And he's actually inviting us into action. And he says that gratefulness is unleashed when we shout joyfully. Now, that doesn't mean you shout just anything at anyone. That doesn't count. Sorry, all right? You're shouting joyfully to the Lord. And just in case some of you more reserved worshipers think that you can escape this command today, this invitation today, I just want you to notice that he directs it at all the earth. So I think that includes all of us. So we're all in there. And so if you're too reserved, too quiet, and too shy, or too cultured, God lumps you into this command as well. How did Jesus put it when the religious leaders are getting on the disciples' case because they're praising God too loudly? In Luke chapter 19, verse 39, we read, "But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, 'Teacher,'" talking to Jesus, "'rebuke your followers for saying things like that.' And he replied, 'If they kept quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers.'" Amen. The stones will cry out if my people don't. And part of what Jesus is pointing to there is his, what I like to call, his great cathedral of creation. How creation, the ocean and the waves and the mountains and human life and birth and just all the things about the world around us proclaim the living God. His design is worked into it all. The theological term is general revelation, points to the greatness of God. And yet Jesus, he says all this as he's entering Jerusalem on the week that he would give his life on the cross. It's the Passion Week. We sometimes refer to it as. We also call it the triumphal entry. It's Passover week for the Jews. And the crazy thing per Jewish Old Testament tradition is that on Passover week, Jews would come in from all over the world and they would come into Jerusalem. And per tradition, going back centuries, as they walked into Jerusalem, they would start singing Psalm 100 at the top of their lungs as the people of God walking into Jerusalem as they did so for centuries. And the disciples are responding to all this, all that Christ had done and all that he had said. And we read in verse 37, as he was drawing near, already on his way down the Mount of Olives, talking of the Lord, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." But let's face it this morning, don't you sometimes feel like a worship rock? Yeah, you ever feel that way? Like you come to church, everybody's singing, and you're just not, your heart's not there. Your body's not there. Yeah, your mind's on 1,000 other things, and you're just not feeling it. And I think in some ways, God is actually moving us past, you know, he's moving us towards gratefulness because of who he is. Not because of who we are. Because of what Christ has done. Not because of what we have done or will do. Because of how great God is in his character and his beauty and his love and his faithfulness. Not because life is going the way we think it should go this side of heaven. And it's a little fascinating. One of the things I love to do is to study words in English in the Bible and go back to their original meaning. So like in this case, Psalm 100 was originally written in Hebrew. And so you can compare our English word shout to the Hebrew word for shout that's being used in Psalm 100. And it's fascinating the differences between the two, because in the English, in this context, in this verse, the word shout means to give this loud shout of praise. But it's a little bit different in the Hebrew. It's to give this loud shout of praise. It's exactly the same. Some loud gratefulness to the Lord. And so through this psalm, God's inviting us to make some grateful noise, because gratefulness becomes the window through which God's love shines to us and through us. And so he gives us another action. That's to discover some grateful purpose. Verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Serve the Lord with gladness and unleash your gratefulness. You know, we're only on verse 2, but I hope you hear a theme of joy and gladness, right? Isn't it kind of fascinating? In fact, it makes me realize that a lot of people have a very wrong view of our Heavenly Father. Because most people, they have this view of God, of this stern, you know, non-smiling, judgmental Heavenly Father who never laughs and there's no joy. But only a joyful and glad God would ask for joyful and glad singing from his people. And this verse is talking about serving the Lord in all kinds of ways. And I want us to think about how we serve the Lord. Because we serve the Lord all day long just by living our lives for his glory, no matter where we are or what we're doing. We serve the Lord in specific ways when we serve as parts of ministries and the different ministry teams of our church family, that just where God is working in all these different things throughout our church family. We also serve the Lord when we have the heart of a servant in our different relationships where God has placed us strategically in lives. A bunch of you are an example of serving the Lord from this last summer. We had two serve teams that went out and cleaned the exterior of homes for the Buenaventura Mobile Estate Park, because we just wanted to tell all the residents there that we love them as a church and that God loves them too. A bunch of you are servants that are involved in our widows ministry and our grief share groups that have embraced over 40 people in this last season who have lost a loved one in one form or another. It's why we're doing this heartfelt holidays thing for this Christmas, because we have these global partners, Tender Life, Rescue Mission, The Lighthouse, and involved in those ministries are families in our community who are in the most severe crisis at this time. And so we just want to come alongside them and bless them for a Saturday, have their kids come and have this great event, do crafts, give them a great meal, send them out to go do some shopping, and just love on them as a church family. And part of the exciting thing is all of those ministries are bringing their people that day. And so I just encourage you to be a part of what God is doing that. And man, wouldn't it be powerful? Just think how many gift cards we could give to people. It's a lot of people, actually. But if we could all bring a gift card to give to one of these families in crisis and just bless them and let them know that God loves them. And God wants us to do all these things with gladness. But in Psalm 100, God invites us to stretch our understanding of serving him to realize that we serve him when we do ministries, but we also serve him when we praise him. And this is where actually the Hebrew gets important, because in the Hebrew, the word for serve and worship are the same. So when we serve him, we worship him. And when we worship him, we serve him. And this is where some light bulbs should go on in some of our heads, why when we're serving God with some of the things that we just love to do for him, that he's created us to do, why we feel so close to him when we're doing those things, because it's an act of worship. And God is inviting us not to be spectators in worship, but to be part of the worship team on Sundays by serving the Lord through worship. And it is true that on Sunday mornings in our worship time, I usually share the message and Pastor Jacob leads us in worship, but he's stretching our view that we're all on the worship team on Sunday mornings, whether we're on the stage or whether we are sitting here as the people of God together as a church. And we're on God's worship team when we gather as people in our homes and wherever God has us, as we gather at Thanksgiving tables in this next week. We're a part of his worship team. And God doesn't want us to be worship spectators, but to be players on the gratefulness team. And when you express praise to God, gratefulness to God, you instantly qualify yourself as part of the worship team. Is that cool or what? That you get to join the team as soon as you are grateful and praise the Lord together. You know, but there is a key difference, though, when you think about it, between players and spectators when it comes to anything in life, whether it's worship or anything else. You know, players participate, and spectators, they watch and usually shout some criticisms along the way, right? We're good at that. I was watching the Niner-Jaguar game last Sunday. I had recorded it. It was a morning game, and by some miracle of God, I made it out of here with none of you telling me the score, all right? It was like a miracle. Some Sundays when it's a morning game, I want to wear a t-shirt that says, I haven't heard the score yet. You know, I might even tattoo it on my head. I'm not sure. But I saw some statistics, actually, that many of you know these statistics. I just thought it was interesting. But do you know who the most popular team per capita in the NFL is in America today? Someone say it. Let's hear it. Cowboys. Biggest per capita number of fans in our nation. And in Southern California, the per capita largest fan base goes to who? The Rams. All right, come on now. You know who you are out there. And in California, though, the per capita team with the most fans happens to be the Niners. All right, so just saying that there. But I was watching the Niner-Jaguar game. It was one of those games where all their good players were in and everybody was playing well, you know, during that time. And you know, whenever everybody's playing on a team, the whole team does better. But that doesn't have anything to say for the three games that came before, where they lost every game. And when I was watching those games, I was yelling at the TV like, what are you doing right now? You gotta be kidding me. And when you're a spectator, it's a lot easier to be critical, and you like to call out the criticisms over those things that other people aren't doing. Whereas a player actually can be grateful for the small things that a team is doing, even when they're down. And it's fascinating because in the Bible, all throughout the Bible, God compares grumbling and gratefulness all through the Bible. They both start with the letter G, but I'm telling you today, only one of them unleashes God's heart in you. A grateful heart before the Lord. And a grateful heart, this is the beauty of a grateful heart before God. A grateful heart, a heart of praise, it can lift the whole team when no one else sees it. A grateful heart before God, it can lift the whole family when no one sees it. It can lift a whole group of friends when no one else is seeing it. It's the power of a grateful heart before God. There's actually this really interesting place in 1 Corinthians where the Apostle Paul hears that the Corinthian church has this spirit of complaint. And so he's writing to address this critical spirit that they have, this spectator spirit that they have. And so he starts writing to the Corinthian church and he's talking to them about Israel at Mount Sinai and how they were grumbling before God, even though God had taken them out of slavery and cared for them and provided for them in the wilderness and brought them into the promised land, and they were still complaining. And so the Apostle Paul likens that to this Corinthian church that's complaining about everything. And he says this in 1 Corinthians 10:10, "And do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel." Wow, Paul's like bringing out the big guns there, isn't he? Kind of makes you kind of rethink a whole complaining spirit right there all of a sudden. But here's what Paul is saying. The quickest antidote to a grumbling heart is a spirit of gratitude. The quickest antidote to a grumbling heart is a spirit of gratitude. And serving the Lord with gladness moves you from the spectator in worship to being part of God's gratefulness team. And it's one of the ways we're all called to serve the Lord. And God wants us to discover some grateful purpose in life, in action, and in song. And I don't know all your stories, but I know some of your stories. And I know some of you right now, you're feeling benched from being part of some of the normal ministries teams of our church right now for one reason or another. Some of you might feel benched because you have health issues going on. That might even be causing you to listen online today because you physically couldn't be here in person, or someone in your life couldn't be here in person, so you're with them today. Well, I want you to hear what God's word is saying because it's so powerful. He says, "Serve the Lord with gladness and come before him with joyful singing." And God is saying, no matter where we are, we can serve him by being a part of the praise team. And you can serve the Lord right where you are, in whatever context you are in, right in this moment, just by being grateful to God because of who he is. And the moment you do that, you're a part of the praise team on Sunday mornings, no matter where you are. If you're just listening in right now, or whether you're here this morning, or maybe you've been feeling benched for one reason or another, just know that you can be a part of the praise team at any time just by being the people of God praising him. Another action to unleash our gratefulness is to come into his presence with some grateful praise. Verse 3, "Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." He is the one who made us and not we ourselves. The more we know God as our provider and our leader, the more grateful we will be to him. And this is the reason for that. It is because gratefulness begins where entitlement ends. Gratefulness begins where entitlement ends. And what I mean by that is, man, when you know who Christ is in your life, that you know that he's the one that's given you your gifts in life, your job, your relationships, the people around you today, you know, all those things, and he also loves you in the midst of your challenges in life, and you praise him because of who he is. You know, I shared that season for us in our life with my wife, Amy. It was a tough season. We were talking about it earlier this week, and it was about a year and a half that she was on all those medications, and somewhere in that time frame, she had stopped having the seizures. And by God's grace, we got to meet with a group of doctors at UC Medical Davis Center and just kind of talk to them about all that was going on with her and how the seizures had been gone for a while. And this group of doctors basically sat down and they said, you know, we think you were misdiagnosed and that you never needed to be on these anti-seizure medications that are so severe. They said, most likely what happened was during that half marathon, you got dehydrated, causing that first major seizure. And it's actually somewhat common at times to have multiple seizures for even a period of months after such a, you know, such an incident like that. And we literally, she was able to walk out of the hospital and not take another seizure medication again. She got her license back. She got a lot of things back in her life in that moment. And I remember, in that season, as difficult as it was, how we just had to lean constantly into God being our refuge. And in Psalm 34:8, the Bible says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him." And part of what God is telling us is that you can't drink out of other people's cups on this one. You can't eat off someone else's plate when it comes to living out these principles. We have to know Christ personally so that we can savor his goodness as our Savior, so that we can know his love, so that we can know what it means that he's the shepherd of our pasture and that he leads us. Where you know that Jesus Christ really did live the life that we couldn't live, and he died the death that we deserved to die. And that because of his blood and righteousness, he invites us to be restored in our walk with him. And no matter how far we may feel away from God because of discouragement or failure or life's circumstances, because Jesus Christ left heaven because of his love for us and came to earth, he lived a sinless life all the way to the cross, died on that cross for our sins, was buried and rose again, and now he invites us back into life with him. We deserved separation because of sin, but he gave us grace. And now because of that, we can come boldly into his presence with praise anytime. Anytime. Because of what he did on the cross for us. Right into his mighty presence. And so Psalm 100 says, "Know that the Lord himself is God. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name." And part of what God is saying is sometimes you just got to show up for worship and work your way into his presence when you're feeling a little bit far from him. You know, sometimes the half the battle of turning from a grumbling heart to a grateful heart is simply coming to worship and being part of the people of God, where you actually wrestle your way into the truth of who God is. And you settle in your mind again the beauty and the power of the Word of God and how much the Lord loves you and who he is. That's why verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations." And so when we praise God, we open up this window for more of his love and goodness to shine in us and through us. And I don't know if you've ever thought about this before, but even the act of you coming to church today is a gesture of thankfulness to God, much like that one man who had leprosy who was healed, and he comes back to say thanks and to praise him. Because today there are 9 other people who are not here today who are doing something else. And yet you came to worship the Lord and to praise him and to lean into his word and to celebrate the risen Christ together as the people of God. And yes, we get to bring our griefs and our complaints and our worries and our hurts as well. God welcomes it all. And yet gratefulness becomes a window through which God's love shines. I'm going to close with a point that Pastor Jack Hayford makes, and actually invite the worship team to come up as I'm doing so. Because he points out how the Hebrew word for giving thanks or praise is the use of the hands to express and lift up praise to God. Pastor Jack Hayford says that those words in the Hebrew mean the use of the hands to express and lift up worship to God. What he's saying is it's an action. It's a physical expression. In fact, you can look at that word elsewhere in the Bible, and it's actually used where something is thrown, like where a person picks up a rock and throws it at a wild animal in defense or in the hunt. And so when the Bible says in Psalm 100, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name." The idea is actually to hurl our gratefulness at God almost in the face of the adversary. And so I say this morning, as we are on the eve of Thanksgiving week, that we as a church family need to make some grateful noise. And that we, yeah, amen. And that we need to discover our purpose for our life in serving and in song. And in a sense, kind of shake our fist at the enemy, but not by shaking our fist, but by praising God and who He is with our voices and with our lives as servants. So I'm going to ask you to stand right where you are right now. And as you're standing, I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward. If you're a guest with us today, as those buckets come around, the best gift you could give us is just that new hair card to let us know you're with us today. But we give our offerings in all the ways mentioned on the screen as an act of gratefulness to God because of His generosity in our life through Jesus Christ and what He's doing through His church at Encounter around the world. May we praise God today with our lives as servants and with our bodies and with our voices because of who He is.